like Biden. Looks like something on space ground too, but we're not hearing anything.
And Huntsville, MSMGPI, this is Mike Fall on space ground too. How do you hear me?
I read you well. This is John Poyman.
Hello, John.
Great. I want to thank you very much for all your excellent work.
You're welcome. It's quite interesting. I do feel like we've just put a step. There's a lot more improvement to be accomplished. I agree. As you repeat this.
Yeah, I agree. And I was watching the video and seeing the techniques you've added yourself, and I'm very pleased.
Great. One thing I want to, I guess if you, how do you want to do this? Do you want to give me your impressions, or I can give you mine?
Go ahead. I've got a list of questions then, but you probably will address them, and then we can just, you go first, and I'll see if it pick up where I have.
Okay, well, I think the key to this whole enterprise, especially with the syringes being kind of scavenged or whatever, or created, is the key to keep the friction in the plungers low.
Yes.
I think that's possible, but more important, to keep the bubbles. Keep the bubbles out of the system. Keeping the bubbles out of the system is possible, I found, when using the various peaks I think I showed on the video. There are three techniques I really want to emphasize. The first one is centrifuging.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There should be no real extra effort made in the first draw of a liquid to not have air in there. There generally is air in there. There's air in the spigot as you pull it back, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You end up with an air space. You can, except for pure honey, I think you can get rid of almost all bubbles by doing the centrifuge technique. And that's an iterative process. Each time you do a spin for about 30 seconds, you have to let, there's something important. The elastic is good in that it damps the motion as you slow the spin down. And the idea is not shock the syringe as it comes to a, not to rest, but well, to rest.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you very gently squeeze the plunger just enough so the bubbles at the nozzle end are expelled out into a dry wipe.
Sure.
And then you repeat the process maybe two or three times, and that way you get the bubbles out. There's one other bubble removing technique that I discovered yesterday, and that was when you have bubbles in, say, your 2 or 3 centimeter fluid draw in your syringe, you can move the bubbles either away from the input stream, i.e. towards the plunger, to get them out of the way of the field of view,
mm-hmm.
by simply flicking with your finger at the other end. It sends density shockwaves through the liquid, and those, simply by Archimedes' principle, move the bubble towards the plunger end.
Okay?
They're just instantaneous shock, always in one direction, and so there's a net acceleration for a moment, seconds, that gently moves the bubble away from the tapping. Generally, when you tap or flick with a finger on a hard object with a liquid in it, the bubble will move away from the tapping, is what I have observed.
Okay.
So that's the other technique to be passed on to the next person. The final one is that I found all the ideas of putting liquids into Ziplocs very, very unsatisfactory. They, in my other experience living on board, they can always cause a mess. So my take, as you saw, was always contain my fluids in either syringes or drink bags. If I needed to pour the fluid, or shall we say, transfer the fluid, the best thing that works for you is to take a small dimple, radius of curvature, no holes in the MWA, put a piece of Kapton tape over that hole so that you aren't going to make the desk all messy and the safety people all excited. And making sure that the dimple of the tape actually dimples down into the hole that you've covered up with the tape. That then acts as a concentrator for the drop that you're now going to put there. And then you fill the drop. You fill the hole with a ball of, well, a hemisphere of liquid big enough take the nozzle of the syringe that you want to receive the fluid into.
I saw that in the video.
You can
make
it. Good, good. So you understand the technique.
Yeah, yes, I do.
I'll pass it on to Mike Finkerties.
Okay.
Those are the three techniques I thought were in, that I developed that I hadn't planned ahead of time, and they all worked pretty well. Oh, finally, when you're connecting the one of the most unsatisfactory areas for me, still, and I think it's a matter of practice, unfortunately, is the joining of the straw, the narrow straw tip, to the 2 or 3 centimeter syringe. So that when you do that final junction, and I was using the green rubber collar. I still think the green collar is the right way to go. Maybe it should be longer. Or it could be filled with fluid. The other thing I think could be done is it could be filled with the same fluid you're going to inject. It will squirt out a little bit and make a bit of a mess around the outside. But that way you avoid the bubbles. I found in the first, certainly in the first run, I introduced a lot of bubbles in that initial insertion of the straw tip into the receptacle syringe nozzle.
Yes, we observed that.
And that's really...
Yes, we observed that.
Yeah, well, that's really all I have to say on the observations.
A question. With the, when you use the collar, the one disadvantage from our point of view is that the straw tip does not protrude into the fluid, and it makes it difficult to obtain a thin or a narrow stream when you inject.
Well, you need to think about how you can achieve that, man.
Yes. Well, that's the one issue.
It's incredible. Yeah. Well, I have one idea on that, and we never got to try it because I got carried away with my collar. And that is, it might be better to pre-position or pre-install these straw tips on an empty syringe, just stretch the rubber.
Yeah, we observed that in the lab, and we're testing that out on the ground to just leave them stored.
Okay,
and then it makes it much easier.
I think that's a better way to go then.
Well, we'll investigate
right
on the ground.
That might be the best way. Okay.
Would you recommend we'd have that in the procedure for the next crew beforehand to do that and let it sit before they do the actual experiment?
Right.
Understand.
Right. The other thing is you need to put caution saying try not to squeeze the straw. As soon as you squeeze the straw, you squeeze fluid both directions, you know, back into the syringe it's coming from and out the tip.
Yes.
So it's a pretty tough, tricky, that is a tricky maneuver, that whole thing.
Yes. The do you have any comment on the plunger problem?
Yes,
was it the stickiness? Was it hard to pull smoothly, or would it tend to?
Hard to pull smoothly.
I found the last one pulled rather smoothly, and it's a whole matter of pinching. You basically pinch the plunger out. But on the first four or the first three, when I pinched it, it came suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be, what we might do is cycle that plunger. You might put into the procedure a cycling of it so that it gets lubricated by the fluid that's within the volume.
We're going to investigate
that. And that could be done as part of the, and I tell you, John, you know, the reason why that last one was better, because I actually decided there wasn't enough fluid in there. It was pure honey, wasn't it? So I had honey into there, and I somehow deal with the space I had there.
Yes.
And I think I cycled it. And I think cycle the plunger, maybe as part of expelling bubbles, that will improve the final stroke.
We're investigating that on the ground to see why the plungers tend to stick. And maybe the duct seal gets around the plunger, and by cycling it, you could clean it and lubricate it.
Right.
Well, you hit on all the points that I had. And gave him, you have some excellent suggestions, which we appreciate.
Okay. On the photography, I think we could have done. I could have done slightly better to kind of clean up the bits of tape or whatever that were kind of masking some of the action in the tube. But in general, I like the 105 millimeter lens, macro lens, is the one to use, and you focus that just by moving it in and out.
Okay,
physically, the whole camera assembly.
Okay.
I would say you need to decide, the focus is very critical on that, so you need to tell whoever's next,
in focus. If you focus on the top surface of the syringe, the bottom surface is not in focus, and vice versa. I ended up starting to make the outline, the edges, parallel edges of the cylinder of the syringe be in focus.
So it's focused
in the middle? That would mean, therefore, I was in the middle, yeah. That's the way I decided to do it.
Okay, well, we'll consider that.
The field, of course, would be much better. Well, and the other thing is you might choose not to go program. I was using the program mode on the camera, and I didn't, honestly, you can look at the pictures that we took, and you can see in the settings on those VCR pictures what the f-stop was. But maybe it was a large f-stop, and so gave no depth of field. What you might do is you might set an f-stop of 8 or something, and then really do a long exposure rather than a wide aperture.
We'll check on that. That's a good idea.
And you could also reduce the ISO, increase the ISO setting on the electronic camera too. It's 100 on those pictures I took. Anyway, I found that when I pumped up, I'm sure you've discovered this, but I pumped up the exposure value electronically while I was viewing them in the Kodak program, and I could see they came out quite nicely. They looked a bit dark when I first looked at them, but when I increased the exposure value, it seemed to look good.
Yeah, the later stills were very nice, and that was without the flash, correct?
That's without the flash, yes.
Yes, so they avoided the glare. That was very good.
And the other thing is, you need to use the interferometer in that case, because obviously the camera's got to be still, steady, and just tucking away.
Understood. Well, that's all I have.
I can't think of anything else. Did you see anything you didn't expect in there?
No.
that first run was pretty funny. I don't know if you have children, but small children.
I do.
That first pull of the honey into the water reminded me of something I haven't seen for 6 months. Which was floaters in the toilet bowl. Anyway.
We enjoyed watching them in real time.
We
enjoyed watching them in real time.
Okay, those did show up, did they? You could see those?
The first day we were watching in real time.
First day we were watching in real time.
Yeah, and you could see the curly cues in the...
Yes.
In the water?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Well, thank you again very much, and enjoy the rest of your stay.
Thank you. Did you learn anything from this job at all, other than technique? Didn't learn anything.
What we're doing is we have a computer model for the interaction of miscible fluids, and this allows us to put upper values on some of the parameters for the intermolecular interactions.
Okay. All right.
So it's helping us benchmark our... Well, we have...
Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks for calling.
So we benchmarked something. We got the order of magnitude, right?
That's correct.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Alpha Huntsville. Mike, thank you so much for the great feedback.
Oh, Huntsville, you're welcome. Inside, you see the party's been disconnected. Copy.